This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We just want to declare, Lord, that you are the God of miracles tonight, Lord. That you are the God of the impossible. That you are the God that wants to take us, Father, to places that we've not been before, Lord. To show us, Father, tonight things that we've not seen before, Lord. To invite us into a place, Lord, to dream with you, to walk with you, Lord, and to experience, to come and taste, Lord, tonight, Lord, sing things we've not seen and heard before. Father, thank you for your word that says in Corinthians, where the eye is not seen, nor has entered into the heart, Lord, those things you have reserved for those, Lord, that you have called. And tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you make that known to us, Lord, that you touch everyone tonight, Lord, and that you open up, Lord, what we need to see. Amen. Amen. And there was light suddenly. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Hope you're comfortable. Don't be so quiet. We're not a lot tonight, so you got to help me here tonight, as usual. Amen. There's two people that's present here. Let's try again. There are a few of us here. I have to use the mic, but Chichu, no, he's bringing balance to the plane, man. Some people can upgrade to Chichu's side. Leave him on his own there. Yeah. Anyway, have you guys, we've been busy with a series on Extreme Makeover at the back here. Who of you have attended the first two or know about or seen that or watched that? If not, please watch that because it's foundational to what we're doing. Okay. Because that's so important. We were talking about what is God doing in our lives first. Okay. About salvation, changing of heart, changing of desire. I can put a few questions out there, and I won't put you on the spot there, but it's important that we know how and what is happening here on the inside when we come to Christ, okay? That is very, very important. If you don't understand that, chances are good you won't be able to explain that to somebody else. So we are aiming with that to help us a little bit to get a better perception of what's happening when we come to Christ. This exact, now, you need to spend actually much more time than just one sermon on that, but we didn't have the opportunity to do that. It was a privilege for now with finishing the series. So tonight, Pastor Carl was speaking anyway earlier on the salvation part. Theo was sharing on the desire part, and tonight I will continue on the new commandment, John 13:34, and I'll put it out there that says, "Who knows that scripture?
You memorize it.
You knew it. You're too quick for me. Now I check your eyes, eh? I see." A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, bear that in mind. You know, I said this morning as well in the first or both services, you know, and you've probably heard the song as well. There's a song called "You're Always on My Mind." Huh? Is that beyond you? "They're always on my mind." We've heard that song. Only one in this audience. I need to pick a different song. Chicho, man, come on, give me a high five. Okay, we'll have to get that song so that you... And basically, the song is just saying, "You are always on my mind." Okay. I want to latch onto that for a moment and just ask yourself a question. If I had the ability to just to read your mind for a moment, we had a technology to read your mind, whether it's on a camera, whether it's a scanner. I mean, we got nice gadgets nowadays. But what would we be able to read? Chicho, don't say... So please don't say. We would be able to put that up there and what's continuously on your mind, that would probably be a bit scary. Not always scary, don't think bad. Always. Sometimes it's good stuff that we think about, right? Nice stuff that we would love to do, that we sometimes with this weather that's so bad, you think, man, I wish I was rather there, huh? Isn't it? Or maybe tonight it's some other stuff that is really bothering us, you know. Maybe job situation, you're unsure about what the future might be, where you currently find yourself. Maybe there's a girl in your mind or a guy, but it's fine. It doesn't matter. The stuff that is in our mind that's so often continuously there. And if we had to do this and point this camera to Jesus for a moment, because he's our author and finisher, he's the perfect example, he's the one that we want to look to, he's the one that we want to become like. If we had to put our camera, imagine, do this with me for a moment, on Jesus' mind, and the only way how we can look at it is through Scripture, what would we see? What would you see? Now, the guys that's been here in the first service, not allowed to, or this morning, not allowed to give that away. Think about that. One thing that I think comes to mind when I read Scripture, and that is people. Jesus had people on his mind continuously. He had you on mind. Listen, Scripture says, before you were formed in his mother's womb, I dreamed about you. That blows your mind, huh? Jeremiah. And the thoughts that I have to you is numerous. It's so numerous, more than the sand. That's what God thinks about you and about the people out there. Continuously, he had people on his mind. Even in his most difficult day, listen, when Jesus was crucified, when he was in his most challenging day here on earth, he was the one that said to John, take care of my mother when I'm gone. He had people in his mind. He's the one that was speaking to the guy, to the sinner next to him, and said, today you will be with me in paradise. He was the one that prayed the prayer, Father, forgive them, the ones that were nailing him to the cross, because they do not know what they are doing. And actually was praying for us. Father, forgive for me, because I was responsible for that nail on that cross, for him hanging on the cross. And there's a song we sang this morning, I think. I never know how much it would cost me. What's that song? Now the tune is just coming from my mind. What's that? It's a famous song that we popped. I never know. What's that song? Come on, help me here. That's it. Yeah. You know, you think about that song for a moment. We would never know how much it would cost. But Jesus had people on his mind continuously. And because he had people on his mind continuously, that's why we're here tonight. Mark 6, verse 34, the scripture says that Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he looked at people and they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he had compassion on them. Now, here's the thing. When we meet Christ, and that's why it's so important to listen to the first two sermons of the series, something needs to take place on the inside. And when that takes place, there's an automatic reaction that comes as a result of that took place. And that thing is, when we meet Christ, when we have a true encounter with Christ and the conversion took place and salvation took place and regeneration took place and I can holiness and I can carry on and on and on, then something comes out of that. We want to engage with people. Because Christ, that which Christ does in our life is so precious that we cannot hold back. So here's the thing, the opposite is also true tonight. If we've been with Christ for a while, and we find it hard to engage with people and not to pull them in, it's time for a fresh encounter with Christ. Amen. Ouch. Ne? Das war. Amen and ouch. That's true. Very quiet here. I mean, we need to ask ourselves a question. I mean, we can't go here tonight in depth about that. We can ask ourselves the question, if we just look at us here tonight, from where we've been September last year, the way we are now. Are we about people? It's tough, man. I'm not a grassy. I've been preaching this sermon to me for the third time. So you only have it once. I have to get it three times, you know. So it's tough. Can I walk around, I move around between other churches as well, and I have to ask the same question to myself. God, how are we going to get there? How are we going to engage? How are we going to get our people into your presence? God, how are we going to get them here tonight, Lord? There's too many empty chairs here, Lord. We want them here. Amen? Or are we just satisfied and say, listen, it's a few of us. We have a nice cough. Spit it out, man. Hot chocolate. Out there. And then we go home and we enjoy each other's fellowship. Or do we have people on our mind continuously because Jesus had people on mind? Why did Jesus have people on his mind, by the way? Three things, I think, why Jesus had people on his mind. And when he gave us this commandment, go, he was actually saying to us, listen, when I'm finished with you, I'm actually going to reprioritize your priorities. He said to the fishermen, he said to the disciples, listen, guys, when I'm done with you, you've got fish in your mind, but when I'm done with you, you'll have people on your mind. He's the only one that can do that in our lives. I mean, we had so much other stuff in our brains and our mind, but when Jesus touches us, we've got people on our mind. And the only thing that we should think continuously is, man, this guy needs to know the truth. This guy needs to get to the water. This guy is blind. I need to get him to a place that he can see. That should be our burden that we are carrying continuously. Why did Jesus have that? Because the first thing, and I want to give that to you, we need to give the shorter version this night to you, that Jesus knew the heart of the Father. Jesus knew the heart of the Father.
For the Father, it's all about people, about His people. Our core value, or one of our core values tonight, if you go on our website, you'll find that is people. One of them is people. Some of that is passion to pursue. There are five of them, but one of them is people. And what we are saying to one another with that core value as in family is, hey guys, we are about people. We're not just about chairs and empty chairs and buy another chair and then put it and redecorate and we have a nice building. Because we can build a nice church over there, but if it's empty, it means nothing. It's just another building. We can rent it out and use it for other stuff. But the only reason why we're doing stuff like we're doing tonight is because we want to reach people. We want to reach people with the gospel. We want to reach people with the good news because that's what the Father wants tonight. You know, when Jesus was confronting the Pharisees often, He was always confronting them when they were placing a higher value on things than on people. When they were placing a higher value on religious systems, rituals, things, obeying that, as opposed to people, He was confronting them and said to them, listen guys, the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we can fall into that trap of just going through the motions. And I need to ask myself, Lord, is people still on my mind? Obviously Jesus, that's a taken, you know, that Jesus needs to be on our mind. But that our friends, that we need to carry that burden. It doesn't happen overnight, you know, that people just walk through this door tonight, come and sit in this chair and say, here I am, preach to me, and, you know, say yes to you on your invite. We all know it's not that easy to get people into the kingdom of God. It takes a lot of effort from all of us, the people that God has placed us, the people that God has given us influence over, to pray for them first of all, more than anything else. Before you make an invite, before you start bombarding them with the gospel or even trying to convince them, because it's not our job to convince, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to work with people. But it's our work to sow the seed. It's our work to stand in prayer. It's our work to stand and carry that burden continuously before the Lord. And as the Holy Spirit is leading us to bring that to Him. In Luke 15, there's a story about the prodigal son, and Jesus was just basically saying to the Pharisees, guys, you're not getting it. This is about the lost. This is about the prodigal son. We find it further on that when Jesus was trying to walk through Samaria, what happened is he was denied access, and the disciple says, listen, these guys that's trying to deny access to you, shall we call fire upon them? And then Jesus stops them and says to them, no, you miss it. Guys, you don't miss it. You miss it. You don't know why I'm here. It's about people. It's about me. It's about you. And it's not selfish. It's just the way our Father is. You know, the thoughts that He think about us, the thoughts that He think about the people out there. And if we're going to be in the business of our Father with Him, then people need to matter in our lives. I've been in Thailand just now. I came back on Thursday. You know, and we've been there for a World Congress of One Hope Ministry. Can't go into too much depth there, but I was representing Namibia there. And so we were sitting in that conference for probably 7 days, just spending time with God, teaching after teaching, 100 countries being represented there. So it was just, I can carry on and on tonight and just speak about what we've experienced there in the presence of God, worshiping with other believers from all across the world, just standing in a room filled with the presence of God, hearing what God is doing in this country, in the youth. And you are so inspired. You're like, God, why are we limiting you? You know what? I came back from that. I had to repent about the small building that we're building on the other side here, about the little bit that we, with all respect towards you guys that are here tonight, the little bit that we are here tonight, because there's so much out there happening. People that are busy dying, people that are thinking they're okay, lying around tonight in a drunken state tonight, lying tonight in broken relationships. And we're okay. And I'm talking to myself, you know, I come back so inspired. But yet at the same time, I realize that the task is so great. Because it's about people. Amen. Say die preek is hier vir my nie. Julle is hier getrou is hier so vanaand. But you sit in that place and you sit there long enough in God's presence for the first few days. It was just, my spirit was just so stirred up, you know. And if you sit there long enough, it will always come back to one thing what God will speak to you about. My people. Go back, my people. You know, I could sit there, enjoy the presence of God with so many other believers, hear what God is doing in other countries, but eventually we have to say goodbye to one another and go back to your place where God has assigned you. And our yes to God is never a yes to the assignment. Our yes is the yes to God. When God calls us, He first wants us to ask us the question, are you going to say yes to me or are you going to say yes to the assignment? I think that's where a lot of people miss that. We want too much info from God. God says, no, I'm not going to give you the assignment. Give me your yes first. An unconditional yes that is challenging. When God calls us into whether it's ministry, whether it's to something, He says to me, are you going to say yes? But Lord, what's the small detail? Give me the fine script, all of that. No. Give me your yes. And that's the only thing that matters. And when we give that to Jesus, He gives us an assignment. And He changed that. Listen, our assignment changed from time to time, but it will always influence people. It's always affecting people. Our assignment for Christ will never be separated. It's not to just, if we even serve, if we pack our chairs, it's because people is going to come and sit on those chairs. If we open the doors and we walk, it's because people is going to walk through this place and they're going to be used to touch people. It's always going to be connected to people because that's what God's business. The second one, Jesus knew the reality of eternity. He knew the reality of eternity. He's the one that spoke about that more often than any other preacher that was here on earth. Luke 16, verse 23, Jesus is telling this story about Abram and Lazarus. A real story, not a parable, people. Abram and Lazarus, Luke 16, 23. And he's talking about what's happening. It gives us an insight. It gives us a snapshot into the future, into hell. What's happening there? That's where a lot of what we understand about hell comes from that specific scripture. Jesus says the same in Matthew 25:46. He says this, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now listen, we don't preach about hell in the church, huh? Too often. In actual fact, I think I've preached once on hell. I think we are due for a hell preach sermon. Ah, man. I don't know. I said that to my wife or somebody the other day. I said, you know, we don't preach about that often. And I remember once I saw a video. You can actually Google that. It's on YouTube. I think it's 23 minutes in hell. Guys, I've got the book at home anyway in the video. I've got the guy that's been in, God took him into that place. And what he saw there, I mean, the horrific stuff that he saw there. Well, I remember we had a men's night some years ago here at Connie Contas, and we got a guy with me here from Okanya that's had an experience, same experience as the guy. It shocks you. I'm telling you, it shocks you when you hear what he's sharing with you about what's down there. I'm saying down there because it's down there. But Jesus spoke about that, and it's not to scare us tonight, guys. It's just so that we understand the reality of death and life. And we might sit here, we're all okay, and we say, Jesus, thank you. I'm just glad I'm going to heaven. But the reality, if that sinks into our spirit, it will change our conversations. It will change the way we interact with others. Because we suddenly realize, man, my chummy or my friend or whoever is going one way if I'm not going to bring him before God continuously. And we can't change them. We can't change their hearts, but we can bring them before God continuously. Interceding. It starts with that. It starts with us having a burden for the lost, for people. See, nothing will make it to the other side. I know we all have our life in front of us and we dream and we say, you know, one day I'm going to do this and I'm going to become this and I'm going to earn this and I'm going to build up this and then I'm going to... But the reality is, even though we pursue those things, it would never make the other side. I'm not saying we shouldn't pursue certain things and shouldn't have dreams and aspirations and we shouldn't go higher and go to the places that God wants us to go. But if that's void of people, if there are no people connected to that, listen, people are the only thing that's going to cross that line into eternity. You and me here tonight. The people that we take with us are the only ones that we can take on the other side and we can say, hey, I met you on that side and we are here on this side as well. People that sit tonight in this chair, next to you as a result of you that probably reached out. Think about that. When's the last time we were in that place that we can say tonight, you know what, that girl is here tonight. And it's not because we take credit for anything. It's just because by the grace of God. I had a moment, I had an opportunity, I reached out. I was obedient to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit did the job. But it took somebody that had people on their mind that say, hey, this is about people. I care about that person. I need to get them into the presence. You know, we can't change people. We can't do a work in their heart. The Holy Spirit needs to do that. But what we can do tonight here, and you need to hear me out, we can get them in the presence of God. And when we have a night like we have tonight, or whenever we come together for what other reason, it's just about the manifesting presence of God, and we just want to get them in there. And the Holy Spirit does the job. That's actually very easy. But the tough part for us now is just to do that invite, just to make that invite, just to pray, just to carry them, just to know. I mean, we all know. People don't just turn up in a church because it's a nice thing. I know sometimes some people, but a majority of people, oh, no, you're boring. What are you guys doing there? I don't want to go there. So we need to carry that before the Lord continuously. Maybe for the once or twice a year, or maybe more friends that we know, that we have influence over, that we can continuously bring them before the Lord to prepare their hearts for that one moment. Maybe later this year with Awaken. Maybe later this year when we have a Michael Howard conference. Maybe that's later this year when we have Stephen Lungu. I can carry on. Maybe it's just an ordinary Sunday. But we need to walk with the Holy Spirit continuously with people on our mind, carrying them, because Jesus knew the reality of eternity. We all have heard the scripture about Jesus saying, you know, do not gather for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store it up in heaven, huh? So let me ask you the question that I asked myself. Now I have to ask myself this question again. So that's what I'm saying, preaching to myself three times, getting this truth the third time, and like, Yaku, don't you get this now? What's your account looking like in heaven? Whether it's your serving account, your giving account, your witnessing account. Tough answers I have to ask myself or answer. And I don't want to, really, I don't want to impose guilt here upon you and say, you know what, I feel so bad. My account is empty. And now listen, the Holy Spirit is present here tonight just to remind us again of those people around us. And sometimes we get swallowed up by this world and the things of this world, and just to make a living, and just to carry on, and just so that I can wake up tomorrow morning and do another this and another this. And we are separated from people. And all I trust God to do over this next series and tonight is just to reconnect our hearts to people. And it always starts with prayer. It doesn't start with us just running out of this place and going to change the world with our words. In actual fact, no. Our words before God, yes. Our words to God for those people. And then the Holy Spirit will eventually bring us to that place when He gives us an opportunity, whether we can say something. Because the Bible says in John 1:17 that the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Listen to me. Grace and truth came through Jesus, or Jesus brought grace and truth, but the law came from Moses. So here's the thing. When we meet Christ, He gives us an ability to discern between grace and truth. And I want to explain it this way. You know, when Christ encountered people here on earth, to some He gave grace and to some He gave the truth. When I say that, to the Pharisees, He would give the hard truth often because they were placing a higher value on stuff than on people. So He had to confront them straight away the truth and tell them, listen, you guys are doing wrong. You're supposed to do. But then there were the women at the well that were there with the fifth husband, and He didn't give a truth at that moment. He gave a grace because He knew that she already had a conviction. When Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and that will take me to my third point, that Jesus just not only know the reality, but also Jesus knows the potential of people. Okay? When Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, He says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have a dinner with you or lunch with you today. He didn't give him truth. He gave him grace. Because Jesus could discern this guy needs grace now. And when we come to Christ, that's one of the things that He wants to teach us. When am I supposed to give truth? Because here's the thing. If you get it wrong, what happens? The guy runs. And he's gone forever. Or not forever, for a long time. And we're going to struggle. And if we are going to be religious and insensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we give truth when we're supposed to give grace, and grace supposed to... Because sometimes the other side is also true. Some people sometimes need to hear the truth. And we sometimes shy away from the truth because we don't want confrontation. I mean, who of us can say tonight, you know, I like confrontation. Gonna go out there, fight with people, tell them, you're going to hell. You're gonna burn. Burn, burn, burn.
Sorry.
And Jesus loves you, but you're gonna burn. Man, sorry for you. You need to come to church because you're gonna burn. I don't think we're gonna raise a massive church with that. Cancel those words in Jesus' name, Anya. Sorry, you are my... Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for Anya that's sitting here in the front. He's just my, it's a guinea pig. Oh, no. We want to sort out people sometimes, eh? We want to sort out people. When Jesus said to that woman, listen, that fifth one is not yours, but he gave her grace. He didn't say to her, listen, go and sort yourself out. Go and get divorced. Go and leave that. No, he gave her grace. And we would come in the church and we would say to them, oh, sort yourself out, do this and this, and then you come back, and then when you are right, when you're clean, then we will accept you. I thank God he didn't do that with me. And hopefully I believe you experience the same. When the goodness of God leads us to that place, continuously, till this day, it's the goodness of God that continuously takes me to tears. Because I realize I don't deserve none of this what I have tonight. None of us really brought me up to this place. I was standing in this conference the first 2 days. I'm just blown away because I'm like, God, what am I doing here? I don't deserve here. And I'm just representing our country here, our church as we're involved with this. So and I'm just standing there and say, God, why? But then you realize God wants to take us to those places because he sees stuff in us. You know, when Jesus looks at people, he's the only one that can see in a greedy person up in the tree, we say, you're going to be generous, man, when I'm done with you. Because what happened? When Zacchaeus, when he touched Jesus, he wanted to give out. He's the first one to see in that woman, in that prostitute, there's purity in that woman. See, that's the kind of Jesus we serve that wants to touch us so that we would look at the people out there that's lost, broken, not found yet. And we are able to say, hey man, there's a leader here. There's somebody that's going to touch the kingdom of God, even though they've not met Jesus. There's a song this morning, I was listening to this new song. I was found before I was lost. You found me before I was lost. Think about that. You found me before I was lost. Jesus saw us even before we made the decision. He saw the potential. You know, I don't want to go into depth tonight. I can talk about my own life. When I wasn't at that place, when I could see myself standing here tonight, when Jesus could see that, and I would say to him, no, Jesus, you've got the wrong address. Please pass. Please go, because I'm not at a good place in my life. But here's the thing, God would just be graciously standing there and speaking to us and ministering to us. So, you know, when you give over and you get to that place and say, Jesus, here I am, and I surrender, then it's an amazing process that starts. Amazing process that starts if we can surrender only to him. Guys, I mean, this conference I've been, maybe I should give you some more detail and we'll end there. So what happened is, many of you have probably heard about the word or the thing about One Hope. One Hope is a ministry that's reaching children all across the world. It started in 1987 with a guy that had a vision of demonic attacks upon the children of this world. So he started with this ministry back then in America, and the Lord just led him. And you know, he was hearing his story. I'll probably see if I can share that tomorrow night, if not on another night. But how one man that is willing to submit himself to that process, and that Jesus, here I am, that God would take him to extreme lengths of reaching millions. More than up to date, more than a billion kids has been reached with the gospel. So what they've done is they've started this ministry and they've partnered with churches all across the world, worldwide ministries, etc., developing the products. All the products are free, and just sending it, contextualizing them, sending them out all across the world, and just say, here, that's for free. Just hand them out. So what happened is 2 years ago, September, I was in this place of just being so frustrated. I said, Jesus, we want to reach the next generation. And by the way, you are a product of that tonight here. The fact that we have a service here tonight, the fact that our zone has grown, but there's still much more to to come. There's still a lot that we have to push through. Amen? Huh? It's not easy. We cannot settle here. We cannot get to this place and say, hey, we've arrived. We have a few people here tonight. No. We are not where we have been 2 years ago, but we're still going somewhere, and we still have to break the ground, and we still have to push forward and say, Jesus, there are more people here tonight needed. So 2 years ago, I was at this place just frustrated. We were looking for answers, especially for our youth, and also tonight we've got groups in the school tonight operating every Thursday night. Some of you know as well. Also a result. We've had four teams, mission teams, for the last 4 years been coming here, sowing, trying to engage our... And that's just the starting of that all. So I was at that place just so desperate, and Facebook helped me a little bit there. Spirit led me through Facebook, so that can be spiritual as well. Okay, so I saw that ad on Facebook. Okay, so Facebook is not always bad. They're paying me tonight. You don't know how they're paying me for this ad. I saw this one about Lead Today was the course called, and we're having it here actually now. So it's a course engaging teenagers or youth. Yeah, and helping them to discover certain leadership principles. So I blindly booked this course in faith, booked my ticket, and I said, I'm going to go to Pretoria and just going to go there, and I'm just going to do this course, and then I'll come back, and then I'm going to send our youth leaders there, and then they're going to do this, but I'm just going to check this out, and then when I'm done, then I think, God, we might have a key here. I hope so. Or actually, I hoped so. I didn't know what the content would be. So got there, started doing the course, and halfway in the course, I meet this the guy that said, he's the regional director of Southern Africa, and he says, can we have a meeting? Long story short, they are not in Namibia, the ministry that's actually presenting this course. They say, listen, we want to come to Namibia. So I said, okay, once I'm back, I'll set the table. I'll get a few churches together. We're going to just get you to come and do the presentation and tell them. Now, here's the thing. All of the material, all they want is, listen, we just want to send the books to you. All you need to do is receive that, and then you need to go out and send it out into the world there, and basically train people and use that. Huh? That's what it means. Okay. So anyway, so I got back, get the people together. Some didn't respond. Now I'm not knocking any church here tonight. Please hear my heart here tonight. That is not the point. And up to that point, I said to myself, God, I will do and serve whoever you wants to pick for this job. I'm just here to take hands with the rest of the churches, wherever you wants to pick. And here's the sad thing. When the cost was counted, and we all realized, or some realized, or some didn't, I don't know. I'm being recorded, so I have to be careful what I say. I still want to know, I'll say it probably, where of us has figured out, it's probably for those out there as well, how to engage with the youth, because I'm still trying to figure that out. The next generation. Because if we all got it together, then I should learn from those that know. So I was trying to find this answer, and this was part of this trying to engage, and we met these people that this ministry that's focusing on from kids from the youngest age up to when they finish school, to engage them with the word. We've got this ministry. They want to come to Namibia, and nobody wants to put their hand up and say, listen, this free stuff, all this material, all this design, you can have it. We'll partner with you. Nobody wants to put up their hand. And at that stage, I said, Lord, nobody in the room is going to put up their hand. And Lord, I don't know if you're talking to me here tonight, but Lord, I'm not going to say no to you. Because I get... This is not a coincidence that we are here at this place. And it's not me, it's us here tonight, guys, as a congregation. Because, as a matter of fact, there wasn't a prophetic word that went out before that. God said, this congregation is going to be instrumental in reaching the next generation. So long story short, we said yes to God as a church here. We partnered with that ministry. And now we're in that beginning phase for the last year or so, when we started rolling this out, the product, training, going out there, doing missions, going out there, that we're still in this early phase of taking this beyond shofar. Because this thing is bigger than us here tonight in this room. This is just one of the opportunities that God is giving us tonight. So when I sat at that conference, or been at this conference just recently, 2 years later, or from the initial meeting, you could just stand there and think, God, I never thought I would end up this place. With 100 nations, other people standing there sharing their stories. Can I tell you, that the people in Russia, is a guy in his 20s that's responsible for that country, for One Hope. The guy in Kazakhstan is in his 20s being persecuted, a pastor responsible for One Hope. The guy, and I can carry on, the Chinese girls, ladies, that's actually, that sounds not good, the Chinese girls, I just realized. But the ladies and the team that was there from China, all in their 20s. The team from Thailand, all in their 20s. Why am I saying this to you? You do not know what God can do, what God sees inside of us. You know, we underestimate what God can do with us when we get to that place of surrender. All across the world, they were there. And it's a moment for all of us. There's a place that God calls us to tonight. And our yes, I'm going to say it again, our yes is to God, our yes is not to the assignment. What the eye has not seen, nor has entered into the heart, those things God has prepared for us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, that those are the things that God has prepared for us. That is what he would see in you. That is what he would see in the person out there. And it's my prayer tonight that God would touch us afresh. That we're all about people. Because he's all about people. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.